With stigma still a significant issue to overcome for people facing addiction, those working in recovery are seeking alternate approaches to bring the wider community on individual journeys of recovery. Sophia Recovery Centre for Women is working towards making the City of St John the first inclusive recovery city in Canada. The idea having originated in the UK and having spread across Europe and beyond, inclusive recovery cities look to make recovery more visible and celebratory, bringing organisations and individuals together in the recovery process. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Julie Atkinson, Executive Director of Sophia Recovery Centre, about what inclusive recovery cities are and what it would take for St John to become one.
An inclusive recovery city model is a model in which a variety of stakeholders participate together in changing things in their community that make recovery more visible, that make it attractive, that make it a celebration of success, and shifting the narrative to that way of seeing individuals in recovery as opposed to the much more negative narrative that is often common in our communities around hopelessness and associations with really negative social problems. So inclusive recovery cities, there are a number of them in existence. I think the number is around 34 now around the world. Being situated here in St. John, where we know people are searching for solutions to the visible problems of addiction and homelessness that we're all becoming more aware of now, it requires more than just treatment providers and the motivation or the willpower of the individual who needs recovery, who wants to stop using substances in order for someone to successfully be well. And it requires conditions in the community to be set up in a particular way.
But what would it take for St. John, from where we are now, to become an inclusive recovery city?
We've already started the process to the extent that the first step would be to build that understanding of what it means, what is inclusive recovery, what is visible recovery, to build that enough of a level that you can attract the right participants and stakeholders into the project. So it's a lot of conversations with different people in the community to help them understand what the goal is. And we've been doing that already. Our next step here in St. John was to arrange to have Dr. David Best, who's one of the founders of the movement, come and visit our city and meet with individuals and give a presentation at our event that we held last week so that more people will be understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. And out of that process, we have identified a handful, about a dozen, of individuals who represent various sectors in our community, from the city itself, private sector, not-for-profit organizations, schools, universities, healthcare providers, and we're bringing them together. We formed an initial committee to start working on this, and the steps that that committee will need to drive forward in order to attain the designation will be to create a council that meets regularly and that sets goals, and to host a number of events that are public facing that expose the broader community to people living actively in recovery very successfully. One of the core pieces, I think, is providing opportunities for people in recovery to give back, to volunteer. And that's part of that piece of making recovery really visible. And when you make recovery really visible, what's been demonstrated is other people who need to find recovery see it. They make it achievable in their minds. That gives them hope that they can also find recovery and be accepted in the community. One of the things it does is it breaks down the silos that a lot of times we operate in communities. And, you know, there's a lot of different people who have a vested interest in the community being a place where people are well, where there's not a lot of addiction. But a lot of times those people are not joined up and working together towards that goal. What has been seen in other cities is that just bringing those people together, giving them a bridge, a place to meet each other, means that when you're organizing events that are designed to support the recovery community, you're doing it together. And so you're reaching more people and you're not acting at cross purposes, for example. We've been hearing that this really offers that coordination of approach and effort and builds beautiful relationships in the community, makes those communities happier, safer, more well-connected places to be.
As you mentioned, this idea came from the UK and has spread to Europe and beyond, but not yet in Canada. I mean, do you think there are any particular reasons why Canada hasn't yet picked up on this idea?
It's a new model and it has taken some time to cross the Atlantic. I think that there are various pitfalls to be overcome. One of the biggest one, of course, is stigma and misconceptions about addiction that are often held at government level and even within the healthcare community. There are a lot of misconceptions around addiction, and you really have to deal with those first before you can get people to rally around a solution. And that's why we've taken our time to do this groundwork, a lot of conversations behind the scenes, and really the statistics and the evidence around the likelihood of recovery, which is much higher than people often assume when you ask them, when the conditions are right. So I think that's an important piece of it, is just reaching every person with good information about the likelihood of recovery and the approaches that are successful. And then you can have a community movement once people are on the same page about that stuff.
That does lead on to sort of questions about opposition to this idea, or maybe, yeah, those who kind of raise skepticism about it. I mean, what is your response to that?
You know, for some people, they're speaking out of fear, or they're responding out of fear, and they're responding out of true distress about what they see when they see visible homelessness and addiction. There's a response to that. That's an emotional response, which in many cases is a very valid and understandable response. When it tips into fear, I think there's something that we can say there around the fact that most people who are living unsheltered are not violent. They're not perpetrators of crime. So there's ways we can reassure people who have fearfulness around it. And then there's other people who I think come to an assumption that approaches like these are all about bleeding heart compassion. I think compassion is a good thing, and I think it's one of our most important traits as humans. So I would never rain on compassion. But at the same time, I think what's great about this model and what I would say to those individuals is, you know, this is really not about compassion. And this is something Dr. Best has said. This is about caring about your community. And all of us have to live in this community, and all of us want it to be a great place to live. And something like this, an inclusive recovery approach, makes the community safer, better for everyone who's in it, for everyone who's marginalized or vulnerable in any way. It improves the quality of our relationships in this community, and that's good for everyone. So you don't need to be a super compassionate person. You just need to care about the place you live.
What is your vision for St. John?
Well, our vision at Sophia Recovery Center is that we create a community that is safe for women to thrive. And so that means that if you've had a struggle in your life with addiction, that there's general understanding that these things happen to people for very good reasons. These things happen to people, and that there are very good solutions for individuals who during their lifetime struggle with that, and that we normalize that. That's a safe space for people to go through those kind of challenges in when it's normalized. So it's kind of a weird thing to say that my vision for St. John is where these challenges are just normalized, because when they're normalized, we, as a matter of course, understand how to direct people to find help and to get better and to not struggle with these things over the course of decades. In many ways, we can never remove all of the things that may lead to addiction in people's lives. These are very prevalent challenges in people's lives and things that they're born into sometimes. But what we can do is make our community a place where if it's you that encounters that challenge and finds yourself struggling with an addiction, lots of people around you know how to help you, whether that's your family members, your teachers at school, your employer, it's your physician. All of the people understand, hey, this happens. Here's what we do next. If you're somebody who's struggling with this in your family, if it's happening all around you, it can be hard to reach out for help. It takes courage, but do it. You know, reach out for help. People want to help you, and they want to help your family member. And recovery is just so possible. It's just so possible. So it's worth it. It's worth it to take that risk and to feel vulnerable and reach out for help.
More information about Sophia Recovery Centre can be found at sophiarecoverycentre.com. This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.